listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jedi scum.
I will be the most powerful Jedi ever.
Lord Vader.
Soon the rebellion will be crushed.
It's a trap!
Now, fulfill your destiny.
It's unfair.
Liar!
Impressive. Most impressive.
What have I done?
I am the father.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gives me a thrill every time. Maybe when I'm 85, I will no longer get the chills when I hear the Imperial March from John Williams, but I'm not 85, and it still gives me that great thrill. In fact, the Hubs and I started season 5 of The Clone Wars with our dinner on Thursday evening. It was one of those evenings where we just had a lot going on, both had a couple of phone calls, and then actually I had to hop on a Zoom call. I wasn't going to drive all the way to Syracuse for this, but I did show up on a Zoom call as part of a seminar that lasts a few different weeks. It's every Thursday evening for incoming grad students, and there are 60 plus this year. So it's a big grad class. Of course, they're not all in TV or radio. Some of them are in production or in other forms of communication. And then in some cases, this happened with my grad class at Syracuse, they're actually focusing in some other school at CUSE, so law or public relations, but they are enhancing their educations by taking some classes at Newhouse, which is the School of Broadcasting and Public Communications. And so it was really neat. I was able to hop on a Zoom call. I actually was wearing my Syracuse t-shirt, and I was able to hop on the call and speak to a bunch of them about the class and introduce myself. And I don't teach my class again until the spring. Cannot do it during football season. It's impossible to make that drive to campus once a week. But here's kind of the funny thing is the director of this grad class, or the director of Newhouse, the sports department, she and the dean have not officially invited me back to teach next spring. But since they included me in the seminar, I'm going to go ahead and assume that the offer will be forthcoming. So yeah, it's kind of fun just to see all of their faces and remember where I was when I started my grad class. Now, we didn't have Zoom when I was a grad student at Syracuse, but I do remember that we had different professors come in and kind of introduce themselves in their classes in the summertime of our first year. Well, first year. Summertime of the full calendar year. So the way Syracuse does their grad program, at least in public communications in Newhouse, is that you start in the summer. So I started grad classes 3 weeks after I graduated from undergrad. It was a quick turnaround. Wasn't a whole lot of time to move off campus and drop my stuff at home and then turn around and pack and move to Syracuse. So it was pretty quick. But I now know, I look back and I think if there had been a longer break, or if I had taken a break in between undergrad and starting at CUSE, I don't even know if I would have done it, because I was about schooled out, if you will. If I had taken a year off, there's no way I would have gone back. Anyway, so I like how they do it, because you start right away and you wrap around. You do a full calendar year, 4 semesters, a summer, a fall, a spring, and then another summer. And you finish up there and you're able to take your comps or do your thesis, whatever it happens to be. So yeah, it was kind of neat to remember where I was when I was starting. I was so nervous because it was a dream for me to get into Syracuse, and all the different broadcasters who had walked those halls before me and had made a huge reputation for Syracuse University and Newhouse School, So it was a big deal, but I tell people all the time, even though you don't need a master's degree to work in TV and radio, I would not be the broadcaster I am without the classes I went through and the rigor of Syracuse, where I had 3 internships and a job, actually, so I could pay my rent. I had a job on the side. I worked at the gym, so I took the ID cards of anybody who came in the door. That was my number one job. So it's kind of funny to ask Donovan McNabb for his ID card. You really didn't do that much. That's not something that they expected you to do. But every now and then I would go kind of hard line about it. And even if I knew it was a football player, I would still ask for his ID card. Just for fun, just to be that way. So yeah, that was fun. Worked at the gym and then also had 3 internships. So it was a crazy year. It was the toughest year of my life at that point, but it was also the most beneficial because of what I got out of it and the connections that I got out of it as well. So yay, happy for them. But even as I think about it, goodness, it's a semester. Not this coming one, but a semester away that I'll be teaching. And gosh, everything that has to happen between now and then, we got an entire football season to get to. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Easy to find. Also, our YouTube channel. And Colton looked it up. He tells me that we started it in 2015. So yeah, it would have been a couple years into us hosting here 5 nights a week, as opposed to what we were doing on the weekends the first couple years that I was here. So it's got quite the history and a lot of great content. If you're looking to laugh at me or be impressed by me, for instance, my skydiving video is on our YouTube channel. Boom, baby. But also me learning how to throw a spiral. Haha, that was Tom and Isaac who taught me how to throw a spiral. There was the before and there was the after. And they had a terrific time sharing that content. Chubby Bunny and Ask Amy walks down the aisle. A lot of the run up to the wedding. And then a video after the fact, Ask Amy walked down the aisle. And there's other stuff in there too. I know producer Jay and I, we were cranking out a bunch of videos for a while because he loved YouTube, and we're going to have to wait until we find a new producer who can also do the YouTube. But to that end, Colton has an announcement to make, don't you, Colton?
I don't know if I'd say it's that important of an announcement, Amy. I'm not the host of the show here.
That's true, but people
are... when you're a part-time producer around
these parts. No. Here's the thing, though. People care about you because they care about me, and they are very invested in the producer search. And so people keep asking, and I told you, they weigh in on our social media and tell me when they like a producer who's been filling in. And I think people got pretty attached to you because of the way we had to navigate the CrowdStrike Microsoft crash last week. So people, I think, are going to want to know that you have removed yourself from the running.
I have indeed removed myself from the running. Put in my 2 weeks a few weeks back.
And wait, hold on. Why did you even put your hat in the ring for the job if you knew you were going to leave?
Well, I put it in, and it's very funny. As soon as I put it in, just talking back and forth with some people in the office, and I was like, whoops, they're going to quickly find out why did you put your hat in the ring, and that's that. I put it in and then had some talk around the office, and it kind of just shored up my
Wait. So people don't think this is talk about me. It better not have been talking about me.
No, please
clarify this. Hey, Amy's a B-I-T-C-H. Don't work for her.
No, that's not at all. No, it was just financial stuff. It just mm-hmm. I'm commuting 2 hours every single day. And
2 hours?
Correct. Yeah, it's lovely. I'll get out of here at 6:05, 6:15. By the time I'm done podcasting, I will get into my door at 8:15. So, yes.
Eastern time.
Yes.
Wowzers. So I wouldn't do that. There's absolutely no way. That's commute is about on a good night with no traffic, it's say 37 minutes. In the morning, it takes longer because of the morning traffic. But on nights like a Thursday in the summertime where the traffic might as well be daytime rush hour, it can be brutal. And there are plenty of times where it's taken me over an hour. And every time I get road rage, I don't know how you do that. What do you do to keep yourself company or to make the drive go faster while you're doing a 2-hour commute?
I don't really know what makes it go faster. It's just listening to music and listening to the radio station, listening to Infinity Sports Network, listening to WFAN. It's kind of it's what it is. Yeah, wow. 2 hours. It's brutal, isn't it? Yeah.
So 2 hours driving or 2 hours to get to where you park the car?
No, it's 25 minutes, 30 minutes to get to my car, and it's an hour and a half drive home.
Ouch.
Yep, it's wonderful.
I'm impressed that you've done it at all. So, yes, Colton spoke to Jay. I just know it. And has decided that he's going to take a different career path, too. You'd think at some point the company would wise up to what's happening, but I guess not yet.
No, they could care less.
Or maybe the company has, and as you point out, doesn't consider it to be a major problem. But I am sorry to see you go, and I certainly wish you the best. Of course, you're getting married next year, and I know that sometimes, I think for me, change priorities, probably for you, it makes you consider priorities as well.
Yeah, certainly, probably that's one of the biggest factors into it, because I'm hearing a lot of the guys around here, and a lot of them are living with their parents, and they're single, and I'm like, okay, well, that is not me. You know, I'm getting married in May, so I kind of have to... You know, my fiance changed careers for the better for us. So I can't be selfish, and it's just.
I got to
make an adult decision. I just turned 27, so I got to make an adult decision. It's not a decision I want to make. I would love to do this. I hate commuting here. It's what I always tell people. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, how's work? I'm like, I love when I get there. It's the fact of getting there and how much it costs to get there is my problem.
How did you ever find a gig that was 2 hours away? I mean, were you...
It's a dream job, Amy, working at this company.
Is it?
Working at the Fan and in CBS Sports Network and Infinity Sports Network. It's a dream to work at these places. And
wow.
You get in the door and you put in your time and you hope you get that opportunity. And, you know, and that's that.
Well, I hope that you don't regret it these last couple years. At the same time, it is a very tough business to get into right now. And so that's why when I looked at these faces of the students that some of them I'll be teaching in the spring, I thought, oh man, I just want to help them as much as possible because the industry is shrinking. Now we're in radio specifically, but the industry as a whole is shrinking. Now, digital is growing for obvious reasons, but there's a lot of media companies that are laying off personnel. I keep hearing how AI is going to take more and more jobs. Also, this is crazy. Maybe I'm the only one who's heard of this, but this to me seems nuts. Apparently now there are robots that you can have as companions, and it's essentially AI robots. I actually heard an interview on the news when I was coming in about how these robots could make better companions than people because they remember everything you say. They will have an intelligent dialogue for you or with you. They're always there for you. You never have to worry about them being busy or betraying you or hurting your feelings. And so here are these chat bots. They're called chat bots and they're AI generated and they'll learn about you the more you talk to them. But are you serious? The question has to be asked about whether or not they're better companions than humans. They're machines.
It's where we're going, Amy. I'm telling you, by the time I die, I think everything is going to be a robot. There's going to be a robot running every single thing. I mean, they already have robot bartenders, Amy. Wait till like there's no bartenders. It's going to have a robot making your cocktail at the bar at the, you know, restaurant you go to.
How can they replace the smile of another human, the physical touch of another human, the hugs of another human, or even a pet? I don't understand in any way how this can be comforting to a human to have a robot. All they're doing is spitting back information to you that you've given them. It's a program.
Sure is. And if you just open your mouth to any other person, they will most likely spit it back, but in pieces. And that's usually how it goes.
Wow. I can't even imagine. And I nearly drove off the road when I heard the reporter ask about them replacing human companionship. Man, it feels like we're going back to 2020 where it was Zoom calls all the time and people actually thought that was the same until they realized it's not. I went 3 months without hugging another human being and it was brutal. I remember the first time I hugged someone in 2020 post shutdown, and we held on to each other for like 5 minutes because we were so relieved to have another human to hug and to talk to in person. Oh, that's awful. Doesn't it feel like we're going back? Everyone said they couldn't wait to get back to normal, quote unquote, post COVID and post pandemic, and now chatbots are going to replace humans? Come on.
It's America in 2024.
That's crazy to me. Although I guess, to be honest, have we not seen smartphones and devices replace personal interaction or face-to-face communication? I'm so glad I did not grow up with a smartphone because I learned how to communicate and actually make eye contact. There may be people out there who can't make eye contact with other humans because they're just not used to communicating in person. It's sad. It's really sad. I'm going to have to tell my husband this just in case he's worried. I will never have a chatbot replace him in any way. How does a chatbot hug you? That makes me so sad.
Whoever decides to invest in that, yeah, might need to go see a therapist.
I think people who believe that chatbots are better than humans, they might need to go see therapists. Actually, psychotherapy and counseling, all of those various industries, they're in high demand right now because of the pandemic, no doubt. So Colton will be missed, but I can certainly understand why there's a better path for him forward. So I do obviously hope it brings you great joy and you find what you're looking for. As for us, we're going to get back to our sports, just a little bit of a detour there, but you've come to expect that with us, right? So 45 minutes from now from Sacramento, our friend Matthew Keys, who's big into media and tech. Oh gosh, I don't think I'll ask him about chatbots. No, instead we'll talk about this NBA rights deal that's being contested by Warner Brothers and TNT. Also a WNBA rights deal that's kind of flown under the radar, and just the prolific nature of streaming services that are now invading our sports space. So we'll talk to him about that as well. But ahead, more from Oxnard, California, and Jerry Jones, who wants you to know he's a lot like Patrick Mahomes. He said it. I didn't. We'll see if he can make the case. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Dak Prescott hesitated, and then you hear him kind of as a precursor. I'm going to say it. All the great quarterbacks have played for two teams. Again, I want to be here, but there's a chance it may not work out that way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we're talking about Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, who's not with the team in Oxnard, California, and Micah Parsons, who would be another year behind him, CD, in terms of the progression. So it's Dak, it's CD, it's Micah. We know what quarterbacks are going for these days. The going rate, it's not cheap. Highest paid quarterbacks right now average $55 million per year. And we still have Jordan Love, that domino that will likely drop this offseason. I'm sorry, this training camp, not this offseason, now that we're into training camp and preseason. And then potentially Dak Prescott again, but he's not sure. And here's Jerry Jones, who is being asked, well, why didn't you make more moves this offseason? Why haven't you done more to secure these deals? Now, Stephen Jones, who's his son, the executive VP, told us that there is a path forward, but it's complicated. He says both CD and Micah want to be the highest paid non-QBs, so maybe they go back to back. But I mean, Jerry Jones, he's got an analogy where he compares himself to Patrick Mahomes.
In my life, played option quarterback so many times and wait until the last leaf on the tree. And if you want to picture an option, pure option quarterback going out to the sideline, I have run that ball and kept it and not hand it off to the back, not pitch it back, not throw it. And I have run that thing all the way out to the sideline before I made the decision. Because I couldn't get whatever it took to, it wasn't right for me to make the decision. And so what our fans, what you're seeing, what we deal with is we're buying time. We're option quarterbacking, and we're going on out toward the sideline, and we haven't handed it off. We haven't pitched it. We're trying to make our mind up what to do. Does that sound like Mahomes to you?
Well, that does. I don't know if you do. I get what he's saying. To be fair, I do get what he's saying. His point is that right now they don't see, or and even during the offseason, not seeing exactly what they wanted, waiting for the receivers to get downfield, the tight end, in this case, Travis Kelce, to make his V cut, to lose his defense. You wait until the last second because more options will open up. I don't really get the part about the leaves on the tree. What does that have to do with an option quarterback? Not a whole lot, but maybe mixing metaphors there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, people keep asking him, so if that's the case and you're sitting back, maxing, relaxing, waiting, watching, wondering what will open up and if something will come along or a situation, a player, a deal will come along that is more profitable for you, but also more beneficial to the team. What does it mean to be all in if you're doing the option quarterback thing?
I'm all in. I'm all in. Sometimes being all in means you narrow. You remove the months out here that are in the future. And you narrow it down to where all we're talking about is right now and the next playoff season. And that's it for everybody. We're all in. We're all in. It's all right there. Let's, okay? We all got some things out here in the future, another 2 or 3 years on contracts, all that stuff. Let's all get in here. Zero right now in this. Dak's got his year. Contract, let's focus right here. We all got a lot on the line for that playoff game. A lot of it. So you've got to understand a weird way of looking at it.
That's the part I didn't get. And I do agree with him that you might as well be all in right now. The pieces are here right now, except for CD, who's not there. But they do have a group that they believe can capitalize again and be a 12-win or more team like they were last season, win the NFC East, host a playoff game, if not win the top seed. So I understand what he's saying is you might as well be all in right now as opposed to worrying about the future. Dak's got one more year. He's here. Let's go. We're all in. But I don't really get the part at the end about that playoff game or this playoff game or it sounded like singular, so I don't know if he was referring to the Packers game, but why would he? Because that's in the past. I just don't really get the part about this playoff game.
I don't think Jerry knows what he means either.
Well, could you just rack that last bit where he's talking about how we have to be all in on this playoff game? That's the part I'm missing somehow. Jerry Jones. Oh, are you listening? It's weird because we're supposed to be in a soundproof studio and I can still hear what Colton's doing through the double pane glass.
We all got some things out here in the future, another 2 or 3 years on contracts, all that stuff. Let's all get in here. Zero right now in this. Dak's got his year. Contract, let's focus right here. We all got a lot on the line for that playoff game.
For what playoff game?
A lot of it. So you've got to understand a weird way of looking at it.
So he's not talking about the loss to the Packers. He's looking ahead. He specifically mentions the future. I just didn't get that part about we've all got a lot on the line for that playoff game. Maybe he means playoff run. Maybe he's referring to the Super Bowl.
No, he's just used to what Dallas does. Just maybe win one. Just maybe win one.
Ouch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So while we're looking back at what they did last year, they were 12-5. They did have what was tied for the best record in the NFC, but by virtue of the tiebreakers, it was the Niners who were the top seed, and wasn't it the Lions who were the 2 seed, and then you had the Cowboys who were the 3 seed. They did beat the Eagles, who were 11-6, by the one game in the standings. And then neither Giants nor Commanders were above 500. And honestly, you look back at the NFC, and it was a top-heavy conference, if you will, and a lot of mediocre teams there. So there should be that same opportunity, but the whole point is, as Colton mentions, they kind of run into that glass ceiling and haven't been able to get back to an NFC championship. Again, I do think they have the pieces to make a Super Bowl run. Seems like they spit the bit at the worst possible times, though, and I know it gets frustrating over and over for Cowboys fans. In that same division, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl the year before that, and Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, there was rumored friction between the two of them. I think the Eagles, having changed both coordinators going into last season, and the offensive coordinator and Jalen Hurts and the other guys in the offense maybe not being on the same page. Remember, A.J. Brown, I'm not sure if he's happy all the time, but a lot of wide receivers, they can get cranky pretty quickly. He was not happy. Just didn't seem like they ever clicked consistently. And they fell off the map in the last, what was it? Last 6-7 games where they finished up 1-5, right? So they kind of fell off the map at that point, and the Cowboys were able to surge past them. And so now both Sirianni and Hurts are having to shut down people who are asking them about their relationship and whether or not they're going to be good going into this season. So the head coach and the quarterback are smushing or squashing out little fires.
I'm excited to be back, excited to go through this journey and go through this season with everyone here, you know, from everyone, you know, and I truly trust Mr. Leary, I trust Howie, I trust Coach Sirianni to lead us in that right direction. And I know there are different roles in place. Everybody has different responsibilities. There may be more demands from some than others. But I think to win championships, to be the team we want to be, everyone has to buy into that role, and everyone has to, you know, be fully committed to doing their part and helping the team. And so I'm excited to go on that journey. You know, I feel like for me as a player, as a leader, everything that we went through last year, I just feel like I'm equipped to handle whatever's to come.
The only thing you can judge your relationships on is your personal interactions with people, not any report that comes out. And, you know, Jalen and I's relationship is good. It's, again, you just can judge it based off of what your personal interactions are. And so when you hear a report like that, you don't put much stock into it because, quite frankly, not everybody sees that. So I'm so excited for him and I to get into our fourth year together. We've done some pretty special things, and I'm really excited for him. He's worked so hard at his game. I'm excited for him to be able to get back out here today and have a good practice today. And, just looking forward to continuing to work with him and continue to build on the special things that we've done.
So they're fine then. We're all good. You know what makes them all good? Going through a training camp, working toward a common goal, getting on the field, winning some games. And they did win a lot of games to start last season. But obviously, when they fell off the rails, it really exposed. And they weren't as good as they were the year before anyway. But when it all went horribly awry, well, then it exposes some of the fractions, some of the friction. That's what happens. Losing exacerbates your cracks in the dam, so to speak, and also puts stress on the various relationships. I agree with Sirianni, though. Don't judge your relationship with another person based on what people are saying about it. You judge based on your own interactions and what other people think about it. Well, people are going to have their opinions. As long as you're okay internally, that shouldn't matter a whole lot. It's one of the things I had to learn becoming a network radio host, especially with the advent of social media, is that people are going to say what they want. You really can't control it. You can't contain it. It's not a fair fight anyway. So take care of your business that's right in front of you and don't worry about to the extreme, don't worry about what people are saying. All right, top of the hour, NFL is part of this migration to streaming, NBA, WNBA. So we'll talk to tech and media insider Matthew Keys in Sacramento. But between now and then, We're getting set for the opening ceremonies in the Olympics, and Coco Gauff will be bearing the U.S. flag along with LeBron James, so that's really cool. Team USA in basketball, it's time. It's time to lock in because they will be pushed. We've already got team events underway, which is neat as well. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm glad they're in this space in the summertime where we maybe could use this live sports entertainment to propel us, to kind of bridge that gap, right, between started training camp and, there's still such a long way to go until the first weekend of the NFL season. Well, and of course, college football, weekend zero, they call it, when they start out. We've still got about a month or so. Glad to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Maybe he did have his own personal celebration, feeling as though he'd been validated. Even though the Patriots won 6 rings with Belichick, it wasn't 10, so it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I could sound like that about Mike Tomlin, and I'm very nice about it. And that's a guy, that's a spoiled Patriots fan right there. Again, him and Brady are one of the best duos ever. Just appreciate them both. I get he's not the happiest man on earth.
I think he's happier now. Have you noticed how chatty he is now? Huh? He signed up for all these different TV gigs, including Monday Night Mannings, which is what I call it. I didn't get to watch it all of last season because I was in a long-distance relationship and it was taking a lot out of me. Anyway, I didn't have a chance to really indulge in the Monday Night Mannings, but I'm looking forward to it with Belichick. That's going to be terrific TV. He's actually funny. If you have never seen him in a press conference where it's not necessarily televised, you get him talking and he knows so much about football, the nuance and the minutia. He's a mad scientist and he loves it, but also he's pretty funny. And I mean, his 24-year-old girlfriend sees something in him.
He's better than Saban. I'll give him that. He's a lot better than Saban.
All right. We're not talking about Belichick, not in this segment anyway. And he's not one of the current coaches that is back in training camp. But I kind of wonder how he feels. Do you think he misses it?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. That's a question I would ask him if I was the manager. Anyway.
Oh, like, me too.
Like, I feel like I wouldn't miss it. Like, just the stress. I feel like I wouldn't miss, like, just...
It's been his life, though, for decades.
Yeah, well, you got a 24-year-old girlfriend, so you get to enjoy life a little bit better now, Amy.
He's been in football longer than she's been alive.
Yeah, that's disgusting. You didn't even say that.
At A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, I know lots of fans are excited about training camp. It will die down for a little bit here because we have the Hall of Fame game next Thursday. Believe it or not, this time next week we'll be talking about the Hall of Fame game. But then it's a bit of a gap until we really get revved up into preseason games. And we've got the Olympics to keep us company. Coco Gauff, named as the female flag bearer along with LeBron James. And you may remember her story, talked about it yesterday on the show. But she did qualify for the Olympics as a 17-year-old. This is going back to Tokyo in 2021. But she tested positive for COVID and had to bow out. No doubt it was a bitter disappointment. But now, 3 years later, she's a Grand Slam singles champion. She's a Grand Slam doubles champion. In fact, she's the reigning U.S. Open champ. So she'll be in New York to defend that title after the Olympics. And now at 20 years old, making her Olympic debut, she is the flag bearer to lead the American contingent into the arena on Friday. We're going to see it on Friday night alongside LeBron James.
Made me cry yesterday. I didn't want to cry in front of my teammates when the video or when Chris told me I was holding it in. But when I called my mom, I started crying because I think it's even more special that so many incredible people, even now I get emotional thinking about it, but so many incredible people just think that I'm worthy of this. And it means a lot, truly.
Well, congratulations to Coco Gauff. I think it's a perfect pair between LeBron, who at 39 is an elder statesman, and now Coco Gauff, who not only is an international star because tennis is an international game, but also because she represents what so many people love about the Olympics is the hopes and dreams and the representing the red, white, and blue and that wide-eyed excitement, the anticipation. And again, to have her debut delayed by COVID in 3 years, I mean, she and Sha'Carri Richardson, I imagine, share some of the same emotions because they thought they were headed for Tokyo and that got snatched away for different circumstances, different reasons, but still, now they finally get that opportunity to move forward. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Team USA, it's got the highest profile athletes, along with the Coco Gauff line of thinking, where she's an international star, she's an individual champion. You've got all of these incredible NBA stars, like LeBron, who is in search of another medal. But also major competition because there are NBA players spread out among the various basketball teams that will compete in France. And Steve Kerr, while he's seen his team run the table in their Abu Dhabi games and then the London precursor, they ended up getting pushed by South Sudan. Who else did they get pushed by? Shoot, I forgot who they played in their last game where they definitely saw a test again and had to pull away. I'll go back and look. But yeah, Steve Kerr is asking them to get serious now. It's time to be focused on the task at hand.
We have another level. I think we have another two levels that we can get to. It's a collaboration always. So we can show the strategic stuff on the tape, you know, walk through and show them, hey, you know, let's do this, let's do that, let's learn personnel. You know, we got to know the shooters, know the non-shooters, all that stuff. So that's where we can help them. Where they can help themselves is just effort and energy, play after play after play. This is different. This is not an 82-game season. They're not going to play 125 games total with preseason and playoffs and all that. It's literally six games. And watching the tape, we're jogging through some possessions. We're not hitting bodies on box outs. And so it's time. It's time to lock in on that. And as I said, that's for all of us, coaches and players.
So Steve Kerr wants them to focus, and yet I see this headline from the Daily Mail. So this is the Mail Online. USA basketball stars party with stunning women at luxury London hotel before making their way to Paris for the Olympics. This is not an American outlet, but the writer's name is Oliver Salt. Now, granted, this is before they left for Paris, but USA basketball stars party with stunning women at luxury London hotel. And then there's more in the column. Team USA basketball stars enjoyed a night out in the town with two mystery women after wrapping up their final Olympics warm-up game in London. This was the game against Germany. And it goes on to say the likes of Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, and Anthony Davis were seen rocking up at luxury five-star hotel The 22 on Monday night, and two stunning girls in question. Angel Reese, by the way, she was also in attendance, according to the Daily Mail. Let's see. LeBron nowhere to be seen as his teammates let their hair down at a swanky London party after the game. There is a photo of what the Daily Mail identifies as a mystery woman. The mystery women followed them into the hotel looking glamorous in sleeveless white tops and jeans ahead of their night out with some of basketball's biggest names. Yeah, I don't want to know who the mystery women are. I would think that if they were spouses or girlfriends, they would likely be identified, but there are no identifications offered in this Daily Mail article. All right. So now they're going to focus. Now they're going to lock in, according to Steve Kerr. There are some people who look at the roster of Team USA, including a Steph Curry, who at 36 is making his debut, and they're worried about the age, the average age of the team. LeBron's 39, KD's in his 30s. Joel Embiid, he actually says, too, hey, we're older than some of these other nations and some of the rosters that we'll be facing. I don't think that's a thing, but they're talking about it at least. We'll hear that coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.